It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Who's Number One podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the Illuminati. I'm your host, Hollywood Mike, coming to you from the brink of death. Joining me, as always, co-host Corey Stockton, Reed Connell in the back, taking orders from a 6,000-year-old dog, Connor Josh. And Connor, what's going on online? You got the Discord and everything fired up?
We got the Discord fired up. Leave your comments in the YouTube chat, Discord, everywhere, all of the above, and we'll make sure that Hollywood Mike gets all the messages from the fans.
Son of Sam? I'm not getting any of those. Yeah, no, you got the Son of Sam reference?
Like, is that what you're
I've been watching that. Any of you guys been watching that documentary? Yeah. Sons of Sam?
No, yeah, it's a new one on Netflix.
It's basically a Satanist cult conspiracy. Everybody, you know, check it out. It's interesting. It's probably bullshit. Just like the one about the guy who killed the lady in Wisconsin. That goddamn making a murderer, and then it turns out it's just all bullshit. The guy killed her. Yeah. Sons of Sam is interesting.
I'm about Sons of Sam. That's a crazy story.
I was thinking watching it. I was like, it's funny how people used to be scared of like devil worshippers and shit. I'm like, these are the least people. These are the last people you got to be worried about. People hanging, the nerds hanging out with candles in the fucking woods.
The ultimate thing people were afraid of is devil worshippers.
You need to be worried about people like me. People with no fucking time to be hanging out in the woods with candles. Just always on the brink of snapping. That's all you need to worry about. Some nerds with robes in the woods. They're fine. Let them do their shit. Yeah. I mean, these guys were sort of fucked up, though. I'm not vouching for them. But all right, we got a lot to talk about.
Shout out Little Nas X. Yeah. Big fan.
Wait, I don't even know who that is. Connor, what's going on online?
Man, we got O. Steve in the chat. We got Luis Quinones as
the lieutenant.
We got Kitman. Kitman's in here. So shout out to everyone that
keeps
joining us.
What the hell ever happened to GSGS?
I haven't seen GS today, but we'll see.
Somebody find that guy. Yeah. Where are we talking about? YouTube comments or Discord right now?
YouTube comments. If anyone in the YouTube comments can find GS, get him to us now.
All right, Connor, anything new with you?
Oh, man. I got a little cauliflower ear fixed. There you go. That's new.
You did have some brutal cauliflower ear.
Yeah, dude, that sucked. But, you know, got the stitches out. I got a brand new ear. We're all good.
That's what happens when you're Texas State champ, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, sometimes you got to replace the whole thing. But, that's what you do for championship lifestyles.
All right. So should we just jump right into everybody's results last week with the picks?
I think so.
I didn't do too well. I got a sub 500 record. Tyler, if you want to throw that thing up on that, let's just tear the Band-Aid off.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. Let's look at it. So I'm... What am I, 4-5? Who picked
four
the best?
4-5 is correct.
The fans?
The fans.
Fans picked the best at 7-1.
Connor, you take credit for that one?
Yeah, that was us.
How many of those were your tiebreakers? Because you were the tiebreaker for the fans.
I don't know off the top of my head, actually.
What did the fans pick? Everybody picked Aaron Harp wrong, right?
Yep. And Hafaela.
All four people picked Hafaela. All right, well, we owe an apology to Aaron Harp. She looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, straight out the gate, got to apologize to Aaron because that was one of the best matches of the night.
Damn, all right, let's start at the bottom and work our way up, huh? I mean, this was an awesome fucking card. Daniel,
fun night, man. Yeah. Super fun night, dude.
I literally almost died. It was such a fun night. Daniel Kelly versus Jessica Crane. I kicked this off because I knew it was going to be fire, but I mean, I didn't see Daniel making that quick of work of her. I mean, quickest women's submission, who's number one in history? What, it was like 3 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was 3 minutes on the dot. And I think for me, I had a kind of broken perspective on how good Danielle Kelly was because the first time we saw her on Who's Number One, it was against Jessa Khan, right? So that's a huge step up. Yeah, the fact that she took her 15 minutes. But
she seemed a lot more relaxed this time.
Absolutely.
You see people when they come and do their second one of these events, they're not used to all the media and shit, I think, the first time around.
So Heisem as well.
Even in her press conference, they seem more relaxed just throughout the entire week, their second time around.
They knew what to expect this time around.
They put in a much better performance. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, I think Danielle's been out there. She's been on the scene, Danielle, for a long time. And I believe Jessie's pretty new to like the competition, the elite level. You know, she mentioned in her post-fight interview that this was her first time kind of going up against that elite black belt girls in that 115-pound division. So, yeah, I think it was just Danielle, you know, didn't have the best performance last time, a little skewed, but make no mistake, man, Danielle can win that whole division, win be the champ at 115, I think. She's good.
Yeah, it's really good to see that even the athletes who don't fare well maybe against the top three are in there, right? Like watching Danielle come out that hard and put Jesse Crane, who I was really high on coming into this, put her away in 3 minutes is really inspiring. And it just goes back to show exactly how competent and how exciting that division is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no disrespect to Lauren Sears there, but I think this is just a different, you know, Danielle Kelly's just a whole different
Danielle
caliber.
Was fired up too. She was in the Discord like 2 minutes after the win too. Connor, what's going on over there? What are they saying?
Man, actually, they're saying this may have been the best Who's Number One yet. I don't think anyone agrees with them. Everyone's super impressed by Danielle Kelly. I also got a bunch of people coming for that Texas State Champion wrestling belt in the comments. Luis Quinones is trying to set it up.
Bring it this week, dude.
No, I think we're going to let that one simmer for a little bit so the next promo really pops. You know what I mean?
Should I tell a funny story, some raw shit for the fans?
Please do, please.
Listen to this goddamn story from yesterday, all right? I'm sitting there yesterday. I start thinking, oh, shit, I got COVID, right? So I go and I get, like, my 20th fucking COVID exam. And I'm sitting there at the urgent care with my sunglasses on at the urgent care. And I realize, I say, Oh, fuck, you ate a gummy this afternoon. I forgot I fucking ate a gummy in the afternoon, and I went to the urgent care like an idiot thinking I had COVID.
Classic.
I got the negative result back. I was the only person who ever got a negative result, and the first thing I thought was, oh, you're such a pussy. Like, I was just so disappointed in myself. Just tricked myself into thinking I had COVID yesterday.
But that happened. I can see how that happened.
Yeah. I literally forgot. I just popped in the afternoon, and then sitting there in the urgent care 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, shit, I did that earlier. But all right,
so that's pretty good. Not quite as good as taking a Greyhound 18 hours.
Easy. We don't need to bring that back up.
You're never gonna live that one down. At least you got two wallets now. Moving along, we had Philip Rowe versus Cody Steele.
Hell yeah!
This was a great match, back and forth. Great entrance by Philip Rowe. I mean, this one really makes me want to put a rash guard rule in, just because they both, when they were shirtless, got too slippery. I mean, it was still action from start to finish, but I think it gets a little bit too slippery out there when they don't have rash guards on.
Especially for 15
great
minutes.
Great match, though. Great match.
Yeah, 15 minutes is a long time. So, yeah. But, dude, yeah, man, this is such a fun match. A huge fan of Philly Fresh coming out of this one. I saw they just booked a UFC fight, so good luck to him in his UFC career, man. He made it a lot of fun this whole week for us. You know, brought a different energy to some of the promos, to like the weigh-ins and stuff like that. This dude kind of got it. He knew what it was about. He was there to sell himself. He even called out Gordon Ryan in my post-fight interview.
Who did? Philip did?
Yeah. Jeez. I asked him who he wanted next, and he was like, Gordon Ryan, Craig Jones. He was like, give them all to me. Give them all. So I'm like, all about Philly Fresh. Huge fan of that guy. Fun
match. Like becoming friends with just like random accountants and shit in our office. We just became boys with everybody. He was hanging out, talking with everybody. Really cool guy.
He also gave, I think he gave Jess a hat as he was walking past. She was rocking his like bucket hat throughout the office.
What's his company?
Bump Box.
He gave me a bump box. I still got it. I'll wear that on the show next week, Phil. Sorry.
Shout out Bump Box.
He walked in the warm-up room wearing it, like blasting his music, just jamming out. He really brought an energy. Like,
yeah, 100%. He's a real
entertainer. Absolutely. Cody Steele always puts on a great show. That's why we love having him on. I mean, we knew it was going to be a great matchup stylistically. They went at each other for 15 minutes. But then the next one, second quickest submission in Who's Number One history.
Wow.
Haizam Rita. I mean, the quickest submission is Nikki Ryan, and the funniest match ever was win against Tony Ramos.
And you think that one's going to stay?
It's got to stay. That was a real match. Okay. It doesn't matter if Tony Ramos never practiced jiu-jitsu in his life.
We got to put an asterisk on that. Right? That's got to be up in the rule book, like that 60
gonna,
first home run.
Nikki
right?
Ryan's going to have that record forever, cause unless we bring in another D1 wrestler. Haizam Rita, what was it, like 36 seconds or something?
Yeah, 36.
And it felt like a lot happened in 36 seconds.
Here it goes, right here. You can watch the whole match.
Here we go.
Shout out Bill Watts.
He went for this judo throw right and just got back taken immediately, and it was over quick.
Little foot sweep and then judo throw.
Yeah. You know, man, I love how aggressively Miha came out.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Just like, you know, you're down 30 pounds in this match, maybe more. You know, you're on a short preparation. Why not?
Look at that.
All gas, no brakes, right?
Ever since I saw it, I was like, oh, man, why not? I not think of that more often. Just jump over the guard and Kimura him. That sounds like a way better idea.
Great. I mean, you could tell he was, just like we said with Danielle, he was more in the zone this time around. He was more comfortable just around the event in general, his second time doing it. And we got to give Miha a match where he's got a real camp, because he's come in two times on late notice. This time was like the week of, but then last time in Costa Mesa event, he came in like less than 24 hours before the event. So we got to get him a match, like a prelim match with a real camp.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it was great working with Miha, a very professional dude. He was down to talk after the event too. You know, it was a very devastating loss for him, obviously. Very not happy. I think he's got some skills, so hopefully we can get him a match to kind of show off some of those skills. He went after it. He pushed the pace, you know, make no mistake. It was Haizam looked really great, but Miha went after it, and that definitely played a part into it too.
Coming up next, this is crazy to think this was the first match of the evening. Mika Galvao versus Taza. Let's see who everybody picked here. I took Taza. Reed took Taza.
Yep.
The other two took Mika Galvao. I mean, this was a great match. I mean, Taza looked impressive to me here.
I didn't think
he was going to be able to wrestle with him like that. It's like he couldn't finish the single legs, it seemed, just because Mika's so athletic and just like, it's like, I mean, make no mistake, Mika clearly won. He got the dominant positions, but I was impressed by Taz's wrestling as well. And this match was a little bit slower than I thought it was going to be. But I mean, as we ended up seeing later on, it appears that they their strategy was to come into wrestle in both of their matches, the DDS guys. But Taz's wrestling looked great. He was getting on a single, but when you don't got wrestling shoes, it's an athletic guy like Mika, it's easy for him to kick out of those things sometimes, right?
To Mika's credit, too, one of the things for him coming into the Andrew Tackett match that people were saying is he's not really going to be able to last 15 minutes because we've seen him so often win matches in 60 seconds, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, right? But we've seen not just in the Tackett match, but now the Taza match too, that Mika can go, you know, for 15 minutes nonstop, and that's either on the ground or in a stand-up exchange, and just wrestling nonstop and giving us exciting wrestling to work with and not ever really stalling or settling down into just hand-fighting and head-fighting.
Yeah, I think what really was on display for me there was just, like, Mika's ability to kind of counter-fight. I feel like Taza, I totally agree with you, Mike. I think Taza looked great. He, you know, in terms of like aggression, I think it was all Taza. He was the guy who was shooting. He was trying to push the pace. But anytime Taza made any little mistake, Mika was able to capitalize and put him on his back or pass his guard or whatever it was. It just Mika is just such a good counterfighter. Anytime you make any little mistake, that dude can capitalize and get into a dominant position.
He's a great competitor. It's amazing the mind that some of these young guys have, like him and Cole Abate and Arturo Toles, they're all like 16, 17, 18, 17 years old, I think, Miguel Gava. They're all 16, 17, 18. They got great minds for competition already. They're really composed, really professional. Connor, what's the chat saying? Are they over there gloating about going 8-1 on their picks last week?
Not yet, but I think they should be. But I'm gonna gloat for them. Shout out to the chat. You guys never steer me wrong. The wisdom of the mob is undefeated so far. I will say, Steve had a good question, and maybe you guys can point something out, you know, with your expertise that I haven't seen. Is Mika bad anywhere? Is there like a single part of his game? Like, where do you find the holes in it if you're about to go up against the guy?
I mean, he's sort of been working his way up, right? Like, we haven't seen anybody do that to him yet, but he's going to get to the big... I mean, who'd he beat at Third Coast? He beat Pedro Mourinho, John Combs.
And Pedro Hosha, I think.
Pedro Hosha. So he's still working his way up. He hasn't got to those Craig Jones, Tyro Tolo type of guys yet, but I mean, he will soon. Sooner or later, he's gonna be against them, and that's where we're gonna really see it. Because so far, I mean, yeah, he's looked pretty damn good.
I think you just can't make any mistakes.
And so one thing to Reed's point, I've said this before, but Mika's style really reminds me of like the Anderson Silva of Jiu-Jitsu, right? Just constantly sitting there, doing enough to kind of keep you at bay, but just waiting for you to make the critical mistake. And I think he'll see a lot less of that when he goes up against guys who are damn near perfect. Mm-hmm. But until he gets that, he's just going to pick people apart on the outside, waiting for them to make a mistake and then punishing them.
Yeah, I'm interested to see somebody go up against Mika, that's maybe just like a little bit bigger than him too, because man, he's a physical guy. He likes to push people around.
Yeah, he's so good with his counter wrestling. I mean, we even saw that. What was that at Nogi Pans? Maybe that we saw him when he competed IBJJF. I don't remember the exact tournament, but he was just taking people's back off of like takedown attempts. He's dangerous, man.
Yeah, Taza was getting in on him a lot, and I was like, man, at first I was like, man, Taza's getting through his hands easy, getting to the leg, but then I was like, is this kid just that confident in his counter-wrestling, his defensive wrestling, that he's just like doesn't really give a shit? Like, he's comfortable hopping around? I mean, there's, you know, growing up wrestling, there's guys like that. They're comfortable hopping around on one leg. Like, maybe he's just one of these guys.
Has offense for when you get in on his legs. You know, we've seen that before.
All righty, so let's keep moving on along down the card. Who was up next here? Andrew Wiltsey, Gabriel Almeida.
Wow, great match.
Wow, yeah, I mean, Andrew really impressed me. This is what I've been telling this guy for years. Like, Andrew, nobody can wrestle with you, bro. Like, I've seen this guy with legit real good wrestlers. That swing single that he hits, that thing's a legit weapon. Now, he can take down anyone with that thing, especially gets in on these jiu-jitsu guys, they're going to sit with it. He almost lost because of me, because in the beginning,
he
shot
close.
And he gave up a guillotine. And he was sitting there on his back, you know, spinning his leg over, interlacing fingers and all that shit for 10 minutes. He finally stood up, and then Iowa style just fucking broke him, dude. Just took him into deep waters, man. I was like, this was the first 10 minutes, not the best. The last 5 minutes when Andrew stands back up and he just starts pouring the gas on, I was like, damn, dude. And then he finishes with, I mean, that's basically his trademark at this point, but it was just like, what? Swing single, he sits off it, basically knee slide immediately. Isolated the arm, gets to the back, one arm choke, beautiful.
You know, when this match went to the mat, right, after that guillotine attempt, and it kind of slowed down, I was kind of getting nervous that, is this going to be another, like, Andrew Wiltsey versus PJ Barch match where just, like, too technical for anything real to happen? And the real MVP was that stalling warning, right? Yeah. Because the moment that stalling warning got issued, both guys just went apeshit. They were just trying to kill each other from then on.
Yeah, totally true. Gabriel gave him a little warning, and then both guys. I think you got to give a. I was talking about Gabriel, the referee, but you also have to give a shout out, I think, to Gabriel Almeida. Two back to back matches. You know, obviously lost both of them, but he did push the pace there, kind of on the second half.
He was winning for probably the first two judges' favor, right?
Yeah, I think he was winning there. And once Andrew kind of got that second wind a little bit, put him down, passed the guard, mounted, switched to the back, and you know, Nicky Ryan had Gabriel's back for, you know,
like three times.
A good amount of time in that match, and he wasn't able to finish. So the fact that Andrew was able to finish the choke, you know, super quick, it just goes to show you the finishing skills of Andrew Wiltsy.
And the biggest win of the night, Andrew Wiltsy gets to keep the box. He didn't pull guard. Michael Sears doesn't come through with a bulldozer. Riddle has a home.
God damn, I was so scared he was going to lose that match because I told him he couldn't pull guard when he almost got guillotined in the beginning. I was like, I would feel so terrible. I'd probably pay him extra if that happened.
You would have been forced to bulldoze the box.
And then I got no choice. I'm sorry. I got to stick to my word. I got to go to tear his house apart afterward. I wouldn't have had to because he would have not pulled guard. He would have lost, but he would have not pulled guard. So he would have been able to keep his house.
You would have had to build an extension onto it for him, like a pool or something.
If you guys want to know about this box we're talking about, go watch the new Daisy Fresh. It came out, today?
It's today.
Came out today. New Daisy Fresh. It's all about Andrew and his brother Bird. Pretty interesting shit. Not your average jiu-jitsu story.
Yeah, definitely stick around for the animation in there. It's dope stuff.
Up next, Cade Rotolo. This guy's just ridiculous. How does he keep hitting this move on people? I mean, him and Cole Fran, he was sort of overwhelming Cole with his passing, I seem. And then he gave up bottom, and Cole just walked right into his trap, right?
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Yeah, I think Cole is doing a great job, I think, of just kind of weathering the storm, just kind of, you know, retaining guard a little bit. And then he goes for this guillotine, which is just a straight setup for the buggy choke. You know, you get the guillotine, guys jump over to the other side. It means the buggy choke's right there. It sounds like this is a setup that Cade hits all the time. He says he hits this literally every day in the gym.
When we were there, he was hitting it like every round.
Yeah, he says he'll literally hit it multiple times on the same guy in one round. Like, it's just one of those chokes. See, he's setting up this guillotine. It's just one of those chokes people don't see coming, don't respect it. I certainly wouldn't respect
it. I've honestly never tried it in practice or anything in my life. I've never even tried to even learn how to do it. I got to try and figure this thing out. I'll probably, you know.
I've tried
my ACL or some shit because I'm not
exactly, man.
Old,
it's tough. You gotta really gotta dive your elbow into that crook of your knee, and like, I have long arms, and it's still super hard for me to get there. I can't do the buggy choke.
Yeah,
I'm too big.
This is not a technique for me.
This was the easy submission of the night. It's a ridiculous choke. He hit PJ Barge and now Cole Franson with this. At the very minimum, he's got those two. Those are two top 10 ranked people. Connor, what are they saying in the chat right now?
Peter Calandra, he said what I've been thinking the whole time. Okay. It's a little bit disrespectful. Hitting someone with a buggy choke is almost like in wrestling, if you hit someone with a banana split, like it's just...
Or a headlock.
That's one of those, like, you come off the mat and you're just like, oh, you know. But they also brought up a really good point. We've been talking about how to keep people from stalling. And, you know, maybe we should just give the ref a fat tire bonus for every stalling call he has. Just give him a little bit extra, you know?
I mean, it did seem to serve its purpose with more stalling calls this time. Because, like you said, like, Wiltsy and Almeida sort of woke him up, right?
Right.
All right, you guys got to get
going. I think they probably would have just kept down that path had they not got the stalling call.
And I think a lot of the guys that we invite to are so against the idea of stalling that you hit who's number one competitor with a stalling call. It's kind of like an insult, right? Mm-hmm, it's kind of like, wait, I'm stalling? I got to wake this up. One thing I want to say about Cade Rotolo, I've been thinking about this a lot this weekend, is that now he's got to, I know that for me, that Darce was a clear submission of the year contender, right? That 100%. Match against Ethan, match of the year contender. This buggy choke, submission of the year contender. There's a world that I see, I mean, we're 6 months away from the full grappling awards, right? But there's a world that I see where Cade Rotolo and Ty Rotolo can walk away with almost every award they qualify for, right? Breakout Athlete of the Year, I can see Cade or Ty winning that. Mm-hmm. Athlete of the Year, I can see Cade or Ty winning that. Match of the Year, Submission of the Year, they're racking them up.
Cade's crazy. On a roll, man. Cade's, I mean, after his, the Ethan match and then this one, he's got some serious momentum going into September. People don't want to smoke with him either.
No.
Yeah, not too many options out there for Cade after that.
People,
man.
Still he's got just... that brown belt excuse. People could say, I don't know, yeah, he's bad. Nope. Cade Rotolo is a bigger name than you. Get used to it.
yeah, definitely.
All right.
Before you move on, O'Steve said he tried that buggy choke in practice this week and almost armbarred himself. So be careful, O'Steve.
Almost armbarred himself?
Yeah.
That sounds like something that would happen if I did it. Rafael Guedes versus Aaron Harp. This match, like we said, everybody picked it wrong on the show and the fans. Everybody picked Rafael. Is this the only match that was unanimous? Everybody was in agreement? Cody Steele was the other one. So everybody thought that Rafael was going to walk away with this one, or at least win, it seems. I mean, she was remarkably bigger, like 15 pounds bigger. Aaron Harp, while she's been doing jiu-jitsu a long time, hasn't been very active competing like Rafael is. And, I mean, this was a close match, but, I mean, yeah, I was surprised Aaron walked away. I mean, Aaron was really aggressive getting after submissions and stuff.
Yeah, I think this is just a huge win for Aaron, to be honest. You know, I mean, Rafael, one of the kind of just, surging, just kind of like hottest female grapplers of the moment right now. She's just kind of surging, winning a lot of tournaments. She had great performances on Who's Number One. So for Aaron to kind of come out being the underdog, you know, not many people really expected much from her, not really people expected her to go out and do what she did, I think this is just a huge, huge win for Aaron, and just like limitless opportunities now. She can go out there and really challenge basically any female in jiu-jitsu, which is just a huge accomplishment for Aaron, who's normally kind of an MMA fighter, obviously a grappler as well, but.
I want to point out, though, this match, I know it was a unanimous decision. I think this match was super close, right?
Yeah,
It came down to maybe a submission attempt or two, but it was really sweeps versus passes, right? Because Aaron was able to sweep Rafael a couple times. Rafael secured a couple passes. It really came down to who was trying to finish, and that's really all we're talking about. It's not about kind of, you know, bullshit submission attacks. So it's always about the legitimate submission attacks, and both those leg locks look legitimate. It was really what I think swayed the judges, because it was a close match. It really could have gone to a coin toss.
Yeah, you're right. It was unanimous, but I could have seen it gone unanimous in the other way. Right. When going towards the decision, I was like, I'm just glad I don't have to do it.
Yeah, both girls did look great. You know, Rafaela hit some guard passes, hit that sick little foot sweep there in the beginning. So both girls did look great, I think.
Rafaela got to north-south side control a bunch of shit, but she just didn't go for any subs.
Exactly. Like. She was kind of holding position a little bit too much, I think, and should have kind of thrown something at Aaron.
Do you think Aaron's surprised her a little bit? Because she's not on the IBJJF circuit and stuff?
Yeah. I think
she probably shook her up a little bit just by, like, not really knowing much about her. And then, like, damn, this girl's pretty good, like, early off.
And a lot of what everybody was saying, like, Cody and everybody saying, like, these MMA fighter people, girls, guys, man, they're just tough, you know? Like, they're hard to sweep. They're hard to submit. They're hard to take down. You know, they just have that kind of grit that MMA brings, where it's just like, you got to break these MMA fighters if you want to beat them.
And it's funny, Reed mentioned that foot sweep, but I, after seeing that foot sweep, it happened really early in the match, right?
Yep.
The first couple of minutes, I saw that and I thought, oh, this is going to be a short match. Luckily, Aaron kind of woke up from that and really brought it and really stayed in the fight, because that foot sweep, you know, was kind of demoralizing as a fan to see, like, oh, this might not go all the way.
Her close guard was looking good too, really offensive in her close guard.
It was a fun match, though.
Yeah.
Both girls attacked, so nothing to be ashamed of from either girls. They looked great.
Moving on along, Mikey Musumeci versus Juni Ocasio. It's hard to believe this is Mikey's third Who's Number One match already.
I know.
It's the first time he didn't get a sub. But he definitely was after it. Made Junior roll out of bounds like three times, I think, defending stuff. But it's like, yeah, we've already gone from Mikey being somebody who's like, you would never even imagine him doing no-gi again, to he's done three of his number one matches, and he's got a road to ADCC, man.
Yeah, I know. It is crazy.
What do you think about this one, Corey?
Yeah, I expected to see maybe Mikey play with some leg locks and enter a shootout with Junior, because he likes to test himself, right? He's always talking about wanting to put himself up against the best and try and play the best, try and play Junior in his game, right? He wants to meet Junior in a leg lock game. He wants to meet a top player in a guard game. But I didn't expect to see him do this for 15 minutes and really go after Junior's legs the whole time. That ankle lock was, I think, the most convincing, especially because we know how devastating that ankle lock is, right? He's got the world record ankle lock.
Yeah.
But then to just continue pursuing.
Junior came up limping off that straight ankle. Yeah.
And I mean, it looks like that ankle lock, I'm sure, is just devastating. I'm sure it feels like it shreds your foot. But watching him just go after it and go after it and go after it. And then in the post-match, he said he wanted to come up and play passing and just didn't want to really play a takedown game with Juni.
Yeah.
But then we got to see his passing at the end, right? That last minute where he just kind of blitzed past Juni's guard, almost had the anaconda. We really saw, I think, more from Mikey in this match, obviously a 15-minute match, but we saw more from what his capacity is in this match than I think we've seen in the last year, maybe.
Yeah, he said that anaconda choke was very, very tight as well. Who knows, a couple more seconds or whatever, might have been a submission. But, yeah, crazy match here. I think it comes down to that Juni really never wanted to play guard against Mikey. You know, he never conceded that guard position up until, like, the very, very end. And they're content to kind of go back and forth. Luckily, you know, Juni, to his credit, is very well versed in those positions. You know, I think he proved it that he's been in those positions. He knew what to do. He knew how to defend, even though, you know, he did kind of have to limp off the mat a couple times. Anytime I think you can go 15 minutes in a leg lock shootout like that and come away not without your, you know, without tapping is pretty wild. It sounds like, you know, Mikey's going to make some adjustments so that type of thing doesn't happen again. You know, I know in his post-match thing he said he rated his performance 3 out of 10. Which is, you know, exactly what we want, of course.
Yeah, man, it's crazy how far his leg lock game has come. He's getting really efficient with it already. What do you think he does next month? He's got Gio. He's giving up a little size, but this is the thing. You take a penalty if you pull it there. Every Who's Number One match, he's set him. You think he wrestles with Gio?
No.
I think he takes the penalty.
I think, we saw Paulo Miao do this against what, Tyrotolo. He pulled guard like 3 times, right? Doesn't matter if you're negative, if you can score at will.
Yeah.
I don't know that Juni will Mikey will be able to score at will on Gio, but I think he has a better chance of scoring from his butt than from his feet.
Yeah. I love already, you know, seeing just a little bit Gio talking about the match, you know. It sounds like it's going to be an intense match, man. I think Gio's coming for it. He knows that how big an opportunity is to beat Mikey. He's already kind of talking a little bit of smack, which you know, is great to see. You know, there needs to be a little bit of heat there. So I'm excited about this next one.
They're both on the Discord. They both go on there and chat sometimes. All right, now we're already to the main event. Craig Jones and Tyrotolo. I think first off, Craig won. He goes, 4-0 on Who's Number One? But I think Tyrotolo also, I mean, shut up a lot of people. Because going into this match, everybody thought he was still a little kid and he's going to get crushed. And then he went the whole 15 minutes. And, I mean, he was competitive the whole time. I mean, he gave up the guard pass. He didn't get smashed. I mean, he lasted longer in this match than Craig Jones' last 3 opponents on Who's Number One did combined, right?
Yeah. Twice as long. But I don't feel robbed by this match, right?
Wrestling because Craig.
Craig played a great strategy. Love to see him wrestle for the first time since, I think, ADCC 2017, maybe, right?
Yeah.
But I do feel like I still feel a little unfulfilled. I wanted to see what Tyrotolo's passing game looked like against Craig Jones. Great strategy by Craig to never let us see that, right? But I still, I'd love to see this happen again, maybe down the line. Hopefully sooner than later.
Maybe September, who knows? If they do meet again, I mean, you got to think Ty knows now Craig doesn't want to be on bottom against him, right?
Right.
So Ty's going to be really working his wrestling. I mean, it's tough wrestling somebody that's 20 pounds heavier than you, too, but it's like he's going to have to put that weight on if he wants to do 88 at ADCC anyways, right?
And I think Ty's best route here is to really work on his guard. I mean, I don't know if you heard Cade from the corner kind of being a little bit less than friendly to Ty about his capacity to sweep Craig from his guard. But Cade was kind of heckling him from the side. I think he said something like, yeah, you're really going to sweep Craig Jones or something like that. But I think both those kids, they evolve so quickly that that's what we're going to see from him next is him working on his guard game.
Just a dope match here, man. You know, Craig really flipped the script. You know, surprised, I think, all of us. Yeah. Not only Ty, but really everybody.
Everyone on Earth thought Craig was sitting.
Yeah, everybody thought he was going to be hunting legs. That's his best chance to win. You know, I think, and he took the narrative that was being sold by everybody out there and just flipped it, which is, you know, a really, you know, hats off to Craig. It was a genius strategy for sure. You know, and Ty even said afterwards he didn't go how he expected it to. He didn't really train a lot of his guard leading up to it because he just expected that he was going to be on top. But definitely, man, I think Ty looked fantastic out there. He's a guy who goes out and pushes the pace. He had Craig on his heels there. You know, Craig got called for stalling there at the end. You know, a couple times we saw Craig kind of looking up at the clock just to kind of check what the time was, how much time was left. Who knows, man? Maybe five more minutes. It's a different story. It's a different result. Definitely, I think, you know, 15 minutes in, Ty is just getting started, and you know, maybe Craig is starting to wane a little bit there. So I think this was just an all-around great match from both guys. This is elite jiu-jitsu. You know, sometimes a submission doesn't always come, but just to see the strategy of these two guys, you know, playing this kind of cat-and-mouse game. You know, these guys are 1-2, the you know, 185, 200-pound, you know, some of the best grapplers in the world. And to see them, you know, solve these problems in real time, Ty didn't expect to get those things kind of thrown at him, and to see him trying to sweep, trying to go for some takedowns, him going for leg entanglements as well. This was an awesome match, a great way to kind of cap off the night, and hats off to both guys because it was a fun match.
Sneak attack by Craig Jones, huh?
Absolutely,
little wrestling strategy. Nobody saw that coming. Brilliant.
Some Pearl Harbor shit or something.
And I mean, a big statement by Ty that he can hang with anybody in the world, because, I mean, Craig is without a doubt, I mean, a top five pound-for-pound guy in the world.
Yeah.
And Ty went out there giving up weight and lasted the entire 15 minutes and kept trying to attack. I mean, it was they both came out of this looking good, in my opinion.
100%.
Craig comes out, you know, good wrestling, good passing, stuff we haven't got to see from him in a while, and then Ty goes out there, he just survives with Craig Jones and, you know, puts up a good fight and giving up. I mean, he's 18 years old, he weighed less than 180 pounds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You think he weighed in lighter for this one than the William Tackett match. So this kid, I mean, imagine a year from now, 2 years from now,
exactly,
where people like him, Nicky Ryan, Mika Galvao, Cole Abate, these guys are going to be crazy good, man.
Exactly.
I really like to see this kind of sneak attack, not just from Craig Jones, but from the whole DDS squad, right? We got to see it from Taza, too. We've been hearing, you guys have been down to Puerto Rico to see it, but how much they're working on their wrestling. So to see it finally pan out, and to see what that wrestling looks like and what the Donahue wrestling game looks like, it's some cool insight into maybe Road to ADCC or even ADCC next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ty was out there to prove that he's not, you know, he's not this you know, little kid anymore, man. He's a real contender for this kind of absolute divisions and for these big titles and things like that. And Craig wanted to go out there and prove that, hey, a lot of you guys think that the only thing I can do is play footsies and break people's knees. No. I can do way, way more than that. I can wrestle. I can play top, you know. So I think both these guys showed new folds in their game, showed that they're here for the long haul. And yeah, I mean, like you said, future is bright for both these guys. Want to see a rematch, obviously, you know, somewhere down the line here. I think these two guys are going to cross paths, of course. So I cannot wait to see that one again.
In the words of O. Steve, Craig won. But Ty didn't really lose. I mean, especially when you think about, he's the only guy that's went the distance with Craig so far, right?
Yeah, we were just saying. And pay attention back there.
I'm deep in the Discord chat. Yeah, and
what
also
are you talking about on there?
Also, O. Steve is blaming the media right now. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the grand Illuminati conspiracy again.
Illuminati loves Rotolos. They're card-carrying Illuminati members. what else is going on online?
Well, they're talking about, you know, some potential matches for the Ruotolo brothers. They want to see Diaz brothers versus the Ruotolo brothers, which, Hollywood Mike, that's the match to make right
Let's
there.
Let's make it a tag team match.
Nick Diaz coming off the top rope.
TLC match.
Perfect.
Set it up.
Tables, ladders, and chairs. Okay.
We got anything else to cover today?
I don't know, man. I think your trip to the doctors may have been the most fun thing we could talk about.
There's a lot of other shit going on. Corey's headed out to Vegas. American Nationals. If you see Corey out there. Everybody on the Discord, we love you. Reed, you got anything to say?
No, man. We've got Road to ADCC coming up here soon.
July 17th.
July 17th. It's going to be a crazy one.
Goddamn, it's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, for real.
So if you didn't see the announcements, Good. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Kynan versus Mateus Deniz is the main event.
Great match.
Co-main event is Craig versus Hulk.
Atos versus DDS, man. That one's got me hyped.
That's just every match for Craig. And then what's next? Is Gio Mikey.
And
then Anna Carolina versus Clay, Elizabeth Clay. Yeah,
Dante Nikki
and Roberto versus Andrew Wiltz. It's an insane card. ADCC rules. It's going to be sort of set up like a who's number one, but with ADCC judging and ADCC rules. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait for this thing.
Let's talk about those rules real quick. So it's ADCC finals rules, right? So you can't pull guard in the first five?
I believe so.
Yep.
Is that right? But I think it's only a 10, 20-minute match. So there's no double overtime.
10-10.
Right.
Yeah, man. I'm just, man, we were so high on ADCC back in 2019. Excited to kind of get this ball rolling again. Looking forward to ADCC 2022. It all starts with the road to ADCC July 17th, man. It's gonna be hype as hell.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit more next week. All right, we already spent enough time talking about jiu-jitsu for today. Connor, tell everybody we said goodbye. Thanks for everything. They're still watching over there?
They're still watching.
All right. God bless you all.
All clear.